Welcome to Everything PC. It's the final episode of Season 2, and we have a very exciting show lined up. Gerard Pretorius from Computers Only, how are you doing?
I'm good. Keeping busy.
Great stuff, as always.
Yes.
It's that time of the year. I'm Duncan McLeod, editor of Tech Central. You have joined the coolest tech show in South Africa. We like to think so anyway.
Well.
Although a lot of the components we talk about are rather hot, not so cool. And we're going to be talking about some pretty hot stuff today.
Yes. Now, of course, that's our little picks of the best of the best.
The best of the best. So this episode is all about stuff that we are literally lusting after, stuff that we really want attached to our PCs, or they are PCs themselves.
Yes.
And unfortunately, in most cases, can't afford them.
Yeah, I know. Or can't even get them in the country.
Some of them you can.
Yes.
One of the picks we have today, we almost had in the studio today. It's unfortunately only going to be coming next week now. But maybe we need to do a...
We will make a plan.
We'll make a plan. But it's not going to stop us talking about it today anyway. And we'll get to that just in a moment. But we're going to pick our sort of top five picks in tech right now, the coolest tech that we are literally lusting after. And we've got some pretty exciting stuff lined up. So put your credit card away before you start watching the show. You might be tempted. So let's get straight into it. Do you want to do your first pick first?
Well, my first pick is getting a Valve Index.
Valve Index.
The cream of the crop VR experience for full body motion and that type of stuff.
Okay.
It's like, I've played with some VR options from like Oculus and so forth that I've seen and played with and so forth, and they're very nice and so forth, but I want the full experience, and unfortunately Valve does not allow us, unless you import it directly, then you can get it, but it is very expensive.
What are we talking about here in real currency, in US dollars?
I'm just having a look at the website now,
and we're going to put all these images up on screen during the course of today's show. And if you are listening to the audio version, this is one episode where you might want to just check out the video. And you can get the show, of course. That's a good segue into talking about subscribing to our show. If you don't already, why not? You can get us at youtube.com/TechCentral, and you'll also get all our shows there, including Impact Series and TC Daily. So, have you found that price yet?
Not yet. Let me check and see. Yeah, Valve.
So, I'm just having a look at the website here. The Valve Index headset runs at 120 hertz with full back compatibility to 90 hertz, as well as an experimental 144 kilohertz mode. Higher frame rates improve realism and optical comfort. This is a pretty cool looking product. Is it not available on Amazon? You don't get the price directly off there.
No, you can only buy that from them themselves.
From themselves? Directly. Oh, really?
You have to buy it from Valve. So Valve ships it, and you're looking at about a measly introduction price of $1,000.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Just
that's not too bad. I was expecting you to say $6,000 or something.
Well, then you have to get the wires, and you have to set it up, and you get to get the room because you have to put the little boxes up.
Oh, you need the 200,000 rand PC to go with it.
And then you have to buy the PC to run it at that speed and all those things. So yes, unfortunately, it's one of the things. You can't just buy this and replace your monitor yet.
So Valve, this is the same company that behind Half-Life
and Portal and
Steam?
Steam Deck and Steam itself, the actual client, yes.
Okay, same guys.
Yes.
So this is a gamer's headset.
Yeah, no, this is probably the most immersive one as far as I remember, because this can actually do proper full tracking.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually sell bits that you can then add to your feet and so forth.
Okay.
That you can actually have your
Into a cyborg.
Yes, or you can have full body, like one-to-one motion vecting in an actual game and so forth.
Okay. If you got one of these, what's the first game you would play?
Basically, I would want to replay Valve's actual Alex, Half-Life Alex. Mm-hmm. I'll want to play that. And then there's like Beat Saber, there's what's that company called? Bones or something like that. They have a game as well that's stupidly good.
You know what other game this supports?
Huh?
Flight Simulator.
Oh, Flight Simulator. Yes. Okay. Well, true. I forgot about that one. Yeah. All the flight guys. Yeah. Well, at least that's a very seated position.
Yes.
But it is then nice to
look out the window,
cockpit and say, woo. Do a nice landing there.
Admire the view.
Do another 180 and then a 360. Woo.
Yeah.
And then bleh.
So have you used VR headsets before to game?
Yes, I've played with some of the more entry level models forth I've played with.
Now I won't use one because it makes me sick. I get a proper motion sickness. Yeah, I turn green using these things. Yeah. And I can't actually use them.
Yeah.
Do you not find the same thing?
No. I'm more adjustable and so forth. I will say normally from what I can see from valves working and so forth, people tend to be a bit better with the actual valves implementation because it is bigger and it's also easier for people with glasses to use it. So there is smarter ways, and they're getting better at making software in such a way that it's not as motion.
Mm.
It also depends on the hardware you're playing as well, because if the latency is just a tiny bit off, then it's induced. So you're going to probably need like at least like a proper good 50,000 to 80,000 rand gaming PC in South Africa to actually run it like milky smooth.
You're right. So this is for the top 0.1% of the market.
Yes, no. This is like, oof.
But great tech if you can afford it.
Yeah.
And if you're in the market for that, you're probably going to also be in the market for for my first pick this week. And it's the product we almost had in the studio this week, but didn't manage to get it because of a logistical hiccup, which is such a great pity. But it's so big, it would have taken up half the studio and probably blocked the view of us, and we might not have been able to do the show. We would have to stand up and poke our heads over the top of it.
Oh, we can rather be in the screen. Put the cameras behind it, and then we'll be on the screen displayed.
True. Yes, as virtual avatars.
Yes.
Anyway, the product is called the Samsung Odyssey Arc, and it's just arrived in South Africa. I've been looking at this product for some time now, and it is insane. This is a monitor. It's a curved monitor, 1000R curvature, which I believe is the optimal curvature on a curved monitor for immersive gaming.
Yeah.
It's a 4K monitor, so it's not a widescreen monitor. So no. It's 55 inches in size, so sort of average TV size, but you're going to have this thing right in front of your face.
Take a TV and bend it and then put it in front of your face. Yeah. Probably like a couple of centimeters, like 30 centimeters thereabout.
And mini LED technology, quantum dots from Samsung, which is fantastic TV if you've ever seen it in their TVs. 160 hertz refresh rate, 1 millisecond refresh. Response time, rather.
Yeah.
That is absolutely incredible. I've seen a couple of YouTubers unboxing this already. And the amazing thing about this product is not only how big it is, but its hinge at the back, which allows you to lift it and twist it so that it has a vertical orientation. So that if you can imagine this, and you'll see it in the pictures that we're going to put on the video, but if you can imagine this, there's this huge curved screen like curving up to infinity above you. Now, as you know, I'm a huge Flightsim fan. I'm probably going to talk about Flightsim a lot in this episode. But I'm just imagining three of these next to each other, all curving up above you like this. It's completely immersive.
No, that's we're getting close to that where you can make your little cave and then you can just set your screens there and you're like, now I'm in the game now.
Yes.
I don't have to buy VR goggles or anything like that. I can use this and I can play with it. Ah, mate, cannot wait for that to become more affordable.
Well, I don't know if it's going to get much affordable, unfortunately, because it does take a lot of money, I think, to manufacture this.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a bastard to do it, unfortunately. Yeah. So, but it looks fantastic.
So this is Samsung's new top end. And this Odyssey line has actually got a whole range of them. There's G3, the G5, the G7, the G8, and the G9, all getting progressively more expensive. Yeah. And then you've got the Arc, which is their new top end modern monitor. The G9 I actually saw got some pretty poor reviews.
Build quality issues and so forth. Yeah. Because I presume this curve screen is basically, because it's 55 inch, I think as that goes on, the newer model will probably be most like the OLED that they're going to curve
This is mini LED.
So this is mini LED, so that this
Which is very nice too, and it doesn't have the burn-in issues of that.
Yeah, so this is more, you can use this also, it's probably technically brighter as well.
Yeah.
Because they can go brighter and so forth. Mm. So I think this is more like a last like hoorah moment for saying, sweet, here's our best thing, and then we can have different iterations.
The Arc is getting great reviews. It was the G9
It's a proper. Mm. It's basically taking one of Samsung's high end TVs and slapping it as a monitor.
As a monitor and just
juicing
showing
it.
What they can do with
and juicing it because I think it's brighter than the other monitors. Mm. It has less issues at proper sleep states as well versus TVs that sometimes have weird sleep state issues.
I'm not sure what it'd do to your eyesight long term though. You're going to burn in your retinas from this giant screen in front of your face. Anyway, if you can afford $3,500 US for this thing, then I would imagine that you can also afford to go to the optometrist to get your eyes fixed after it's burnt a hole in your retinas.
Yes, I would hope so.
So this is going to come in South Africa. We've got local pricing already. It's going to come in at about 62,000 Rand. Very pricey for a monitor, and you'd probably need 100K PC to go with that.
Well, at least the pricing on cards have come down. So that's I think true. We've got some Gigabyte cards now. They're selling, they can go as low as 15 grand now. Okay. So we're making progress. From we started at 20 and then it went 25, then 35, and then it got stupid, and then it's like, well, you can already say it's 20 is stupid, but yeah, at least now it's we're better than we were 2 years ago.
Yes. Now, it's just a crazy product. If you're the ultimate gamer, this is the ultimate monitor, and you will have it.
Yes, now that's, and then you can plug your PlayStation in it and your Xbox because it's a 4K. Actual normal size TV.
And I've got no doubt you're going to be selling a few of these in due course.
I would hope so. Can contact us and then we'll find out and then we can get some from Samsung.
Yep. You'll set it up and test it for the customer in a great amount of detail. Make sure it's working 100%.
We'll make sure all the pixels are there.
Exactly.
Not one of them
in every game. Anyway, the ultimate geek toy is that new Samsung Odyssey Arc. Can't wait for it to get into the studio here next week so we can play around with it properly. Right, what's your next pick?
OLEDs. Me and OLEDs, big hard crash, hard love for OLED screens. So Asus is bringing out their own, it's a 42-inch OLED screen. So it's based on LG's screens and so forth. But the advantage is that it has a nice feature where you can actually lock the actual brightness or the actual, because the thing is now with all OLEDs, they have this like health safety thing where they're trying to like prevent burning and so forth. So if you've got a bright window open, it's going to try and dim the screen. Now with the Asus monitor, you can actually lock that at a certain actual brightness level. So that's quite cool. And it also has like DisplayPort and all those things. And it's also overclocked a bit. So it's like 134 hertz versus the normal 120 hertz. But yeah, so it's just a nice, it's 42-inch, it's actual gaming monitor that you can buy, and it's not actually a TV, so you don't need a TV license. So yeah, that I would really like to actually get one of those in as well to play with from Asus.
Looks beautiful in the pictures.
It is. OLED isn't.
OLED, it's beautiful. Problem with OLED though is you get burning after a while if you're not careful.
It depends. Normally, I tell people, luckily, I've got my LG, I've got all the way down to, I think, like 15%
brightness.
Yeah. Okay. And it's great. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's still, I'm a bit more contrast sensitive than other people, but I've used it and I'm being happy. Black, you can't beat it. There's nothing that can beat those blacks from my OLED. Nothing.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And that duck vivid when you've got small little particulates and they're very bright with HDR. With Windows 11, the Windows Auto HDR now is stupendously good now. So you can actually make any game that's SDR in HDR and you can get your full money's worth out of your OLED.
You do get spoiled by it. Because I must admit, when I see a TV now that's got LED backlit lighting, it's like, why has this got this washed out grey background to it? No. What's wrong with this TV? No, it looks like it's broken.
Now, unless you're in somewhere that's nice and bright, then you can cover that. Yes. And then if you've got a high-end VA panel, high-end IPS panel, you can get away with it. But no, the fact that you can have that pitch black next to a very bright object. No.
On this incredibly thin panel as well.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. OLED.
So I'm going to barrel through my second pick quite quickly because it's a very similar pick to yours, but it's one of the best kept secrets in the market here in South Africa. Yes. So I'm sure it's a worldwide phenomenon as well. And that's LG OLED TVs. And that's my pick this week, specifically their C-series TVs, which support NVIDIA G-Sync and 120 hertz refresh rate.
Yeah. And FreeSync and all that.
And
jazz.
FreeSync as well now, FreeSync on the premium. Latest ones, yeah. I think it was G-Sync initially and the initial models added FreeSync later.
It is agnostic. It's actually running off the actual adaptive sync module. So G-Sync is just purely there for marketing.
Ah, I see.
And again, I think NVIDIA does help them to tweak it and improve it a bit and so forth. So that's where that comes in. Same with AMD FreeSync Premium.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing there. But yeah, their C2s.
But for the price. It's still expensive for a monitor, but for the price, you're getting either a 48 or a 55-inch OLED panel that is beautiful for gaming. It's designed for gaming. For around the 20,000 rand price point.
Yeah, and you're going to struggle to get gaming monitors for that.
55-inch or even a 48-inch, at that price, you're going to pay through the nose.
No, it's the main reason why those TVs can be so cheap is because they're actually assembled in South Africa. So as far as I know, it's because they actually get the panels from Korea and so forth to South Africa, but then it's actually plastic molded in South Africa. They actually make everything here. Because I spoke to one of the LG guys and so forth, and they're actually starting to make the actual PCBs even here in South Africa. So I'm like, okay, I didn't even think they would go that far. I'm like, no, that's what they're doing now. So trying to get the cost even more down for TVs is they actually make more and more of that stuff here in South Africa, like the power supplies and so forth.
But they're an incredible product. If you're ever in a retail store and a TV store, have a look at the LG OLED panels and just look at the picture quality. There's a demo they put up with these. They always show off the best images they can.
Of course.
Pictures of strawberries in a bowl and stuff like that. Or a painting.
Paintings, they've got the whole painting lines there from all the different paintings.
It looks incredible. And it's an amazing thing to game on. And quite frankly, most people's budgets don't stretch to a Samsung Odyssey Arc, but maybe you could stretch it to one of these.
You can get an OLED. The budget man's best screen.
Still not cheap, though. I mean, most people are not going to be getting one of these. But if you want a great gaming experience, you really are can't go wrong. But specifically with the C2 model.
Yes,
be C2 careful, there are other models that with lower refresh rates.
Yeah, no, so you make sure that it comes with that 120 hertz sticker and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What's your third pick?
Well, it's basically going to be the new AMD stuff. I'm looking forward to get mine and so forth to play with. But yes, now like the new 12-core and the 16-core chips and so forth with the new boards. The pricing on those boards are a bit stupid, though. It's like, I think some of the high-end meg versions basically the godlike and so forth, you're looking about like 16,000 rands there about for one of those boards. And the chip is actually not that badly priced, because I'll have to just check and see. I think it's going to be like around about 15,000 rands for the chip, I think.
Okay.
For the chip and so forth. So it's not too bad, but the amount of power you get in that little thing for video editors. Mm-hmm. I think the video editors and anybody that's in workstation or anything like that are going to drool themselves over for one of those 16-core chips, because it will just bomb through actual rendering.
Mm-hmm. Mm, we saw the new Intel chips announced as well. It'll be about 3 weeks after.
Yeah, 13th gen and so forth. So we'll see. It should be launching in October somewhere in South Africa as well. So
and it's got a 24th core version, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's going to be, because that's now 8 P-cores and 16 E-cores on those. Mm. So that's going to be, I think the P-cores on those are going to be quite fast. The E-cores, I think the multi-threading will help and so forth, but I think it's going to be very close game between the two. Mm. The only reason I go for the AMD one is purely because now when the new cards come out, you're going to have more unisons between AMD and AMD CPU and GPU. Mm. So I think that's going to play a lot to it. That's why I'm like, you want to play with the AMD stuff, push that new chip and see how far it can go.
Mm-hmm. Great. Funnily enough, my third pick, and I was going to say it's the cheapest pick on my list, but it's not, is I attended the the launch of the new Logitech G502 series here in South Africa a couple of weeks ago, and I've been playing around with a review sample of it. And when I first got it, I thought, this thing looks really cheap and plasticky. Why is this considered such a high-end gaming mouse that people really lust after? But after using it quite a bit, I'm starting to really appreciate it. It's a very impressive product, and I'm guessing the reason that they've gone for plastic components and not for some fancy glass or something that Apple might do, or some higher-end component, is that it reduces the weight significantly, and weight is very important if you're a pro gamer.
Yeah, no, so it's all about weight and so forth. So the optical sensor in that is freaking world-class.
It is amazing.
It is a good mouse. So I told people, it's like, it's going from the previous 502 that we still sell, the old 502, it's a good upgrade. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be nice just to get one of those and play with one and so forth once they get more stock.
I actually have it here. I was silly and left it in the office next door, but we'll play around with it straight after the show today. Yes. But we'll also put it on screen so you get to have a squiz at it. So if you're a gamer, it's definitely worth considering. I'm sure there are lots of competitors in that space, though.
There's Razer, you've got SteelSeries, you've got... I would say the other main Corsair will probably be there as well. So that's the main competitors in that market, is those brands. But
So a word of caution here. I'm not a pro gamer. I'm using this for basic computing and for Flight Simulator, which isn't really programming at all.
Yeah.
So I'm not the target market for this mouse, but I must just say my sort of amateur experience with it has been very good.
Yeah, no, it's a light mouse, makes it and makes
it's got a beautiful RGB on it.
Yes, no, it's well. Well, they do sell three versions. There's the wired version, the wireless version without the RGB, yes. And then the one with the RGB.
The RGB, get the RGB
and
one.
And then they come
more,
in white as well.
They come in white and black. Yeah, that's right. Lots of options there, but the RGB one, if you can stump up the extra cash for the pretty colors,
yes, no, that's
it's worth it. And we all know RGB is worth the money.
Yes, every couple of rands you pay for that. Makes it, don't you know, it makes your game better. The RGB, absolutely. The RNG and the B, and you need that because then it's Intel, AMD, and NVIDIA powered.
Of course, RGB makes you a better gamer. What's your next pick?
It's going to probably be the, I think Cooler Master made a chair and so forth.
Right.
It's like a cube chair. It will actually go nicely with your actual, like, your Samsung curved screen and so forth.
Oh yes,
because it's like a whole domes thing that you can sit in and recline back in and so forth. They haven't actually given pricing and so forth. You actually have to contact them for pricing, mm-hmm. because it's going to be one of those things that's probably going to cost a couple of $100,000, excluding shipping costs.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's if you want the full immersive sit and sleep and everything in one place. Then you can sit there, get yourself a nice big ass screen there that you can immerse yourself in your little cubicle.
Yeah,
that's. But yeah, I just to experience to actually have one of those things where you can just sit in your room. It's like, boof, you're now in your gaming mind and just play. I would really want to play with one of those.
Yeah. With your three Samsung Arcs in front of you.
Yes, of course. It has to be.
Yeah.
And then the OLED there. And
the OLED, OLED back
where you can flip out and then watch my OLED when I watch freaking something, YouTube and so forth. And you can watch YouTube on that.
You'll never leave your house again.
No need. I'll just have a bunch of screens on trolleys and so forth that you can just move around and people can use that.
You'll have a screen dedicated to online shopping so you keep yourself fed and watered.
There's a screen for Skype. There's a screen for Teams.
Nerd heaven. We'll never have to leave our home again.
No.
Fantastic. So my next pick is a product made by Apple, which might seem weird on a podcast about PCs. But I use this Apple product with my PC. And the reason I did it was, and I don't know if you've come across this term before called mouse shoulder.
Yes.
So I got this incredible pain in my shoulder last year, and I went to multiple doctors. I went to the hospital. I had it scanned. It was debilitating. The pain. I couldn't sleep on my right hand side. The pain was excruciating, and the doctors couldn't figure out what the problem was. You know, there was no arthritis or any other sort of any signs on the x-rays of any problem there. So I did what anyone tends to do after they get totally frustrated by all this thing. Yes. I started Googling, Dr. Google, and I actually diagnosed my problem. It was a repetitive stress injury caused by using a computer mouse all day long.
Yeah.
So this action of moving my arm to the mouse and back and moving around was damaging my shoulder. So I went on some forums online, and I found people who had a similar problem to me. And so I looked through how do people solve it. And one person had a solution which made absolute sense to me, and it was to get a trackpad to put right in front of me on my desk so that I didn't have to do this anymore. I could simply use my finger next to me. My shoulder stays immobile, immovable, whatever the correct
term
is.
Yeah, nice, immobile.
And I use my fingers, and so I'm not doing this repetitive strain on my shoulder constantly. Within a week, the pain was gone.
Yeah, no, that would be now muscle and so forth. I can chat to my doctors and so forth. Yeah,
amazing.
No,
it's
especially if you get older and so forth, depending on if you had a hard life. I know with rugby players and so forth, we've had a couple of them, where, especially if they've got bigger hands and so forth. That's why that's why some people prefer laptop touchpads and so forth. And then, you know, versus a mouse. And then you get other people where you can get ergonomic actual mouses where they stand like this, because I've got some people that actually have like either very bad arthritis in the wrist, mm-hmm. or they actually have they had a heart attack and so forth, and they actually lost some function in them.
Oh, wow.
So I think Logitech sells some of the mouses where you can actually sit your hand like that on the actual mouse like this and then move it like that. So then it's actually also easy on your shoulder when you grip it like that. Because especially having it twisted, your wrist twisted like that. That's why you'll see also most of the mouses, even that 502, yeah, it's slanted.
Yes.
So specifically so that you can actually get it more in a natural position
I've
like that.
I've seen those mouses. I've never used one.
So you can actually get full ones, which are like, literally feels like a gun in your hand that you can move around and so forth, but that's like very awkward. Yeah. No, it's literally like almost a gun. Mm. It feels like it's almost a magazine. It has an actual trigger there. It's like, yeah. So that's more the advanced versions for those. But yeah, it's actually quite impressive that you can have that. And you can do a lot of that deck. What's it? Fingerprints, gesture control that Apple does so well.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I did some research because I needed to buy a trackpad. And turns out that there aren't a great lot of options out there for PC users. And the company that makes the best trackpad around, third-party trackpad around, is Apple.
Yes.
It's just like the trackpads on their laptops,
yeah,
except it's kind of removed. Bigger. Much bigger. It's a massive trackpad. And so I did some further research, and there's a piece of software that you can buy. It costs a couple hundred bucks that you download, and it actually works with Windows. It's fully configurable through this piece of software, so you can, for example, click on the bottom right if you want to say as a secondary click, or we can switch that off, or all the gestures, et cetera, et cetera. So you can do all of the stuff that you would expect to do on a Mac with a trackpad on a PC.
Yes, PC.
And it's a great product, so that's what I got, and it literally solved my shoulder. So I'm hoping that by relating this tale, other people might learn from this experience and hopefully not have to go do what I did and spend a fortune on doctors and getting x-rays done. When the solution is actually a little trackpad that costs a couple of
look
thousand.
At how your body is sitting in front of your PC, especially if you sit there for hours and hours and hours and hours.
You don't realize it, but these things can injure you.
Well,
if you're not careful.
It's unfortunate. Humans are decorative animals. We always get older, and the older we get, the more things want to break.
Exactly. So, don't be like me. If you're starting to feel shoulder pain, have mass shoulder, and you may want to check that out.
There's options available that are not ergonomic. From Logitech, and then the trackpad options work just as well.
What's your last pick?
My last pick there is actually one of the HP laptops.
Oh, nice.
It's the Spectre 2-in-1s. So it's basically a beefier version of what they have with their current laptops and so forth, with the new 12th-gen chips in them. And then they also have AMD options coming in that will have stupendously good battery life.
Oh, good.
So I'm like, I would love to play with one of that.
4-nanometer chips.
No, that's still going to be fine, but it's on the 6000 series.
Oh, the 6000.
6000 series and so forth that's now out. So DDR5 on them, 16 gigs. I think we'll probably see more of those coming in, but it's all in one. Basically looking forward to the main replacements coming out next year, because I think next year there's big, big changes coming in.
This is a nice looking machine, I must say.
Yeah, no, it is. Mm. From HP itself, that HP Spectre, it's very nice and thin. Proper 360.
Is that screen detachable?
It's a 2-in-1. So I think this is
okay. So it folds around.
Yeah, it's a flip and so forth. Mm. The tablet versions aren't there yet. We'll get there, but not anytime soon. Yeah. But the flips just work just as well.
Yeah. The problem with those tablet versions is the screen tend to be a bit heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also now you have to put the processing in the tablet. Everything goes in there. Everything gets too hot, and then it's not yet.
Not so great.
Not yet.
Not so great. Right, my final pick this week after watching the NVIDIA keynote just the other day, it'll actually be about 3 or 4 weeks after the fact by the time this podcast comes out, but it was quite interesting to see what Jensen Huang announced. I see there's been a flood of controversy following
with great strain, he pulled that card out and tried to hold it there as long as he could with one arm.
Massive
card. Trying to be strong, man.
So how many PCI slots is it going to take over?
Well, that one is like 3-point-something. I think it's a 3.7, I think, is the founder's card.
Right.
So it's a bit 3.7
slots. So you won't have space for anything else in your PC, basically.
No. You put that card in, and it's just the NVIDIA. It's now, it's done, it's NVIDIA's
there. Who needs anything else than a graphics card in your motherboard?
Exactly. So it will be interesting to see how people will work around that, because, the other partner cards are also just going to be even bigger. So the ones from Asus and Gigabyte, they look kachonkas. I don't know if you can say stupid or not, because, my word, if it's getting to this point where it's like, I would probably envision it's going to be close to this size.
Mm-hmm.
For the card, and it's about this thick.
That's ridiculous.
It's like, geez, man, that's like, that's my problem with that. If a card's that big and has so
many
heatsinks.
Why is it so big? Is it cooling?
Well, apparently it's 2 times the efficiency. So I don't know how can it be 2 times the efficiency, and yet it's almost like 2 centimeters bigger than the previous card. So I don't know where that 2 times the efficiency went, because it didn't went into the metal.
Yeah. Anyway, these choices about what are we lust after, not what's practical. So
yes, no, of course not. But We buy that, and again, we're looking forward to the new AMD cards as well. We'll check and see how big they are. Maybe they are as same bigness, so then you can't really say that one is better than the other one.
When does the AMD launch again?
That's 3rd of November.
3rd of November. So this podcast should be out by then.
Mm. Yeah, well, the 40 series should be launching. Well, depends, because the 40 series are coming out in October, early October, like 15th or something, 17th.
Yeah, that'll be after we go out, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, great looking cards. I must say, if I was in the market for a graphics card right now, which I'm not, I'm probably going to wait for the next generation. But if I was, I'd probably be looking at the 3080.
Well, the 3080s are not so cheap. No, I thought people was like, if you can pick up one for cheap, and again, the second-hand market, I had a look to a couple of guys, and the second market is getting flooded in South Africa now with all the X-miners. So I think, give it here in October and so forth, we're going to start seeing stupid specials. So I'm not expecting to sell a lot of cards of the old stuff, because
when AMD launches their new ones as well, the market's going to get quite competitive, and I'm hearing that those AMD cards are going to be super competitive next to the NVIDIA cards.
Yeah, we'll check and see. AMD will have the more power efficient card, I presume.
It's true, the manufacturing cost of these cards is higher for the NVIDIA cards. But I have my doubts that NVIDIA is going to be able to maintain these retail price points for very long.
It depends. They can probably hold it because there's a good enough margin on there. They're probably making close to...
If AMD comes in, undercuts them on a bit.
Well, then NVIDIA never drops price. You have to really, really force NVIDIA to drop price.
Yeah.
Like really hardcore. That's the problem, because NVIDIA tends to take all the money for themselves. So they can... The problem is there's no point for AMD to drop the price too much.
Right.
Because then you look too cheap. And then the problem is...
And NVIDIA's already said this is our pricing, so AMD has flexibility to come in at a higher price point.
Well, they can... Normally, AMD normally comes a bit cheaper. So we'll see how it goes. AMD can be more aggressive and try and compete with the second-hand stock, because the problem is NVIDIA's biggest problem is they're competing with their own product.
Mm-hmm.
That's their problem, NVIDIA. Mm-hmm. So NVIDIA's not much of NVIDIA's... AMD's a threat. It's more of our own product is a threat to our own product.
Yeah.
Which is never good if your own product is a problem for your own product that you're trying to sell.
Yeah.
So NVIDIA has a bigger problem with their own stuff than AMD.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, even in South Africa, I know that even if AMD makes a faster card, by all means, it's still not going to sell as well as NVIDIA. So that's why a lot of people's like, AMD needs to do it slowly but surely and get the market in there, and people... Same as they did with the CPUs, it takes time.
Yes.
It's not going to just happen and people just buy AMD now all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think NVIDIA's biggest problem is themselves. Which is sad, but true.
Right. Well, hopefully we've given you some shopping ideas for Christmas.
Yes. Well, Christmas time is coming.
Let's see if you can fit that Samsung Odyssey Arc underneath your Christmas tree.
Yes, we can try and...
You might have to pop the Christmas tree on top of
them. Don't know how you're going
to
get it through your freaking...
A ladder.
Yeah, a ladder, and then... You have to cut your freaking roof open to make enough space for the Christmas to come through.
You can figure out how to get this thing through your front door in the first place. It'll probably arrive on a flatbed truck.
Oh, well, it'll probably come with free delivery, hopefully.
Well, I would hope so, yes. Yeah, with your 100,000 rand PC to power.
Yes, of course, well.
So, now that we've successfully drained your wallets and whet your appetites for all the cool tech that's coming, this is the end, sad to say, of season 2 of Everything PC. Yes. But we'll be back with season 3. I'm not quite sure when yet.
When? We'll see.
Possibly still this year, although I suspect it'll be a 2023 project. But as always, it's been great fun putting this together for you. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you've got any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a mail. You can either mail myself, duncan@techcentral.co.za. What's your email address again?
gerardp@computersonly.co.za.
And Computers Only is where you come from.
Yes.
Computer store in Midrand. Go check it out if you want to build a PC for that new Samsung monitor. He's the guy to build it for you. And I'm sure you can source the monitor as well.
Yes, no, I can.
Until season 3, thanks for watching and all the best. And happy computing. Take care, guys. Ciao.
Bye.